From the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
We're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, and everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run, but there's nowhere to go when the job is done. All takes place. We've got to stop losing human race. No compromise. No compromise. No compromise. No compromise. No compromise in defense of Mother Earth.
And welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Each week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front line of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about corporations, government agencies, and people who are killing the planet, and the folks who have detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses, so please get a pen or a pencil and some recycled paper to write the information you're about to hear, because this isn't couch potato radio, it's activist radio, and I'm asking you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods, up in a tripod or a tree sit, or locked down in a dragon at the road blockade. If you have information, news, comments, or announcements for Earth First Radio, please keep that pencil handy and listen for the contact information at the end of the show. Let's get started with the news here. This one's called the Big Yak Attack. A ragtag group of about two dozen men fighting to stop poaching of the Tibetan antelope in China has been forced to disband this month. Leaders of the China's Wild Yak Brigade were told to take county jobs, or other members were offered jobs with the government's less experienced anti-poaching program. The antelope, whose fine wool is smuggled out of China to make expensive chatou shawls sold in kitschy little stores in the West, live in the Kekalixili Wilderness. That's it. With very limited resources, the brigade over the last 8 years uncovered nearly 100 poaching operations and confiscated more than 8,600 antelope pelts, winning an international following in the process. Two of the brigade's leaders were killed for the cause. The poachers seem, however, to be winning the battle. 8 years ago, some 200,000 antelope roamed the wilderness, but now less than 30,000 remain. And the first female wolf pup has died in Norway's Wolf Cull. Norway's licensed wolf cull has claimed its first victim, believed to be a female pup. On snowmobiles and skis, 11 hunters and 4 trackers under the leadership of Leonhard Mikkelsen followed and killed the wolf in the Osterdalen Valley in Hedmark County, 200 kilometers north of Oslo. And jailed protester calls for an end to industrial-strength logging. Yuba Nation activist urges Governor Davis to protect forests, fish, wildlife, and jobs. From a jail cell in Nevada County's Wayne Brown Correctional Facility, anti-clear-cutting protester Brian Vincent urged Governor Gray Davis to strengthen state forest practice rules to better protect fish, wildlife, water quality, and communities. Vincent, a member of the nonviolent direct action group Yuba Nation, is serving a 10-day sentence for protesting Sierra Pacific Industries' intensive logging in California. While incarcerated, Vincent is refusing food. Vincent said he hoped his imprisonment and accompanying hunger strike would highlight the need to halt industrial-strength logging practices like clear-cutting. Local residents are expected to gather outside the jail to show solidarity with Vincent, express concerns about SPI's clear-cutting of the region, and call for dramatic changes in forest management. I've chosen to go to jail and refuse food because I want to send a powerful message to the governor and big timber companies. Californians will sacrifice their freedom and put their lives on the line to save our forests and our future, said Brian Vincent. Vincent called upon the governor to immediate steps to sustain jobs, forests, rural communities, and their unique quality of life. Let's move to Australia for a live report from Down Under.
The main reason why we're here is this land, this this area that we're on was the first purchase that State Forest made with the $18 million of taxpayer money that was given to them to buy private land to log. This is the first purchase they've made, this Farrell's purchase. It's a really, really big area, and they've purchased land with old growth forest that has been mapped. They knew it was old growth forest when they bought it, and they've proceeded to log the old growth forest that is mapped on here. And we're here to say that that's illegal. It's mapped old growth, and Bob Carr promised that old growth forest would be protected in 1995.
Forest rescuer Claire Dunn speaking about the blockade, which started Monday near Stroud Mountain, northwest of Newcastle.
To stop the machines, we had a few structures that were set up very quickly and efficiently. We had someone locked on or handcuffed themselves to the hydraulic arm of the log loader. Then we put up a tripod, which is three poles strung together, someone sitting on at the junction of the three poles, and that was placed over the log loader to prevent it from moving. And then we had a tree sit, which is a platform made from wood that's strung up the top of a tree, which then can be cabled to the tripod or the log loader to make it even more safe.
Between a saxophone playing tree sitter and confrontations with angry contractors, the blockade has been a diverse experience.
The blockade's been amazing, really. Under the circumstances, it's been very intense, very high-pressure situation, especially the first day when, lots of people who are here at the blockade are quite new to blockading, and it was a very confrontational situation when the mill owner from Bulladilla, Gary Dorney, came in and started his machine first up and proceeded to try and throw the people who were locked onto his machine off, and then said he'd return in an hour and expect bloodshed. And then they did return with 40 other workers after work hours. So there we were, about 20 of us, 40 of them. It was quite scary, but everyone was amazing. Everyone handled it so well. There was no aggro, from our side. Put on a sausage sizzle, and it's just been an amazing team effort. I've never seen a blockade work so smoothly. Like, every time I go to do the washing up, someone's already onto it. The kitchen's just, just running as smoothly as possible, and everyone's doing their job. It's amazing. Lots of new people getting involved from Sydney and Hunter Valley.
With negotiations between State Forests and the blockaders going well, the protest has been able to release the machinery, allowing loggers to go back to work in non-contentious areas.
It's very important that we establish right from the beginning that old growth forest will not be logged on land that is purchased by State Forest with taxpayer money.
And I'd like to thank the A-Infos Radio News Network for that live report. Let's move to England. Roadworks halted by a group of protesters. Work on a new £3.5 million road scheme for part of the west of England has been brought to a halt by protesters. The Northern Distributor Road is designated to ease traffic congestion in Bridgewater Town Centre, a small town in Somerset, England, and is due to be completed in 2003. But many residents in the area are opposed to it and are demanding a judicial review of the scheme. They say the environmental impact of the road has not been properly assessed and it should be scrapped. And that news is from the BBC. Moving to Hong Kong, Greenpeace took its message about Canadian rainforest destruction to Government House in Hong Kong. While Prime Minister Chrétien was inside discussing trade issues, activists outside constructed a 4-ton wall of ancient forest lumber clear-cut by International Forest Products, also known as Interfor. Greenpeace is urging the Hong Kong government and businesses not to buy rainforest destruction from Canada. While the Chinese government is taking substantial steps to protect the country's last remaining ancient forests, the market for Canadian wood products has increased in Hong Kong and China. In 1999, Hong Kong and China were the world's third largest purchasers of Canadian pulp, paper, newsprint, and lumber, with sales totaling $690 million. Greenpeace in China has begun a public awareness campaign to highlight the fact that while China has protected its ancient forests, their demand for wood is causing the destruction of British Columbia's Great Bear Rainforest and other ecological treasures. Quote, at present, when companies buy forest products from Canadian logging companies such as Interfor, they are buying rainforest destruction. Their purchases support the devastation of some of the world's most endangered forests. Their purchasing dollars are fueling the chainsaws. Unquote. According to Catherine Stewart, Greenpeace Canadian forest campaigner, ancient forests around the world are rapidly being destroyed. When half of the Earth's original forests are gone, much of which was destroyed in the last 30 years. Only one-fifth of the planet's original forest cover remains in large tracts of relatively undisturbed forest, tracts that are large enough to still support wide-ranging species such as grizzly bears and wolves. Much of British Columbia's old-growth rainforest has already been destroyed. There are fragments remaining on Vancouver Island, but the largest intact, unprotected area of temperate rainforest in the world is the Great Bear Rainforest. Standing at 3.2 million hectares, it is about 32 times Hong Kong's total area. Much of this area is slated for clear-cut logging in the next 5 to 10 years. Quote, the Chinese government should take the lead and phase out the import of forest products derived from non-sustainable logging practices anywhere in the world, Leon Ko of Greenpeace China stressed. Canada should outlaw destructive logging practices and take immediate actions to protect rare and endangered forests. Meanwhile, in Italy, a team of 40 Greenpeace activists boarded the Norwegian-flagged vessel MV Star Harmonia while it was entering the harbor of Livorno, Italy. The ship was said to be carrying several thousand tons of pulp from companies Norskog and Canfor, both major buyers of Interfor wood extracted from British Columbia's Great Bear Rainforest. Four swimmers placed themselves in front of the ship to prevent it from docking, while others opened a banner that read, "Do not destroy the ancient forests." Other activists chained themselves to buoys. Italy is the fourth largest pulp importer from British Columbia, along with annual imports of $191 million, said Sergio Buffoni of Greenpeace Italy. This pulp is destined for Italian paper mills producing goods such as paper tissues and toilet paper. Italians are literally flushing these last temperate rainforests down the toilet. Greenpeace urges the Italian industry to stop using pulp from companies that do business with Interfor. The ship eventually left port, unable to unload its cargo. 11 activists have been detained by Italian authorities. If you want more information, please go to the Greenpeace webpage, www.greenpeace.org. Moving to Bogota, Colombia, Friends of the Earth Colombia is calling for a full investigation into the killing last week of 7 environmentalists who were on a trip to the Purisei National Park. And 2 other people who accompany them. The murdered people are Adriana Rodriguez, Herman Bejarano, Goldson Granadas, Jaime Ramirez, Pablo Montes, Rosalba Ramirez, Victor Serrano, Rosalba Carrera, Fiber Claviejo. Their bodies were found along a highway. They appear to have been shot in the head. The people who were killed were part of an environmental group of recreational hikers. They organized walks to lovely Colombian places and visits to sites of ecological interest such as Purisei, an active volcano that has erupted at least 12 times in this century, with the most recent eruption in 1997. The murdered environmentalists belonged to an organization called Compensar. Most of them were younger than 25 and most were university students, says Hilda Brando Vallez, director of Sensat Agua Viva, Friends of the Earth Colombia, a branch of the International Environmental Organization. This is not an isolated case, says Vallez. The list of murdered environmentalists grows, and the murderers seem to behave with impunity. An environmentalist working in Santa Marta, Sierra Nevada, was killed 1 week ago, he said. The press pointed out that the murderers were the paramilitary groups. Nobody is held responsible for these crimes, and fear prevents witnesses from denouncing the murderers. Because of the management of the information in our country, we do not know who are the responsible parties, Velez told Environmental News Service. The government should guarantee the life of the Colombians. The environment has the responsibility to find and judge the culprits. The Friends of the Earth Colombia is demanding that the government take concrete and effective measures to avoid new massacres against the civil population and against those who work for peace, for social justice, and for the environment. Vallez and his organization are directing their protest to the Colombian Environment Minister, Juan Mer Maldonado, and Interior Minister, Dr. Nestor Humberto Martinez Niera. Moving to the Matol and the Headwaters update, Maxam logging in the Matol, no Rainbow Ridge logging in 3 months. Our blockade of the Matol Free State continues to block Maxam Pacific Lumber from logging old-growth Douglas fir on Rainbow Ridge. Clearly, Maxam is choosing not to challenge the blockade, and our near-constant presence of 30 nonviolent forest defenders in the woods has effectively shut down their operations for 12 weeks, a Humboldt County blockading record. It was November 28th that Maxam Pacific Lumber last sent in Columbia helicopter loggers accompanied by Humboldt County sheriffs to log old-growth Doug fir in the Matol. Since then, Motul Forest defenders have moved almost 2 miles up Long Ridge to create the Motul Free State, a blockade complete with several lockdowns, a junk car, a wall of debris, and a hanging pod across the road. Forest defenders have endured some of the harshest Humboldt County winter weather seen in years. 5 of the 8 Rainbow Ridge THPs have now been approved. We need fresh activists at the Free State, so please see our needs section to get involved. Coming up just shortly, stand by. Moving to Rattlesnake Creek, during the week of February 5th through 9th, the Motul Forest defenders were busy defending another Motul plan in Rattlesnake Creek. THP 309 is in the lower north fork of the Motul, about 12 miles from the Motul Free State blockade and the Long Ridge area. Motul Forest defenders confronted Maxam Pacific Lumber hired Columbia logging crews 3 days in 1 week, stopping logging until almost noon each of those days. 4 activists were arrested over the week by shadowing timber fallers as they attempted to cut trees. THP 309 is 63 acres in size and calls for clear cutting and selection of second growth Douglas fir and 15 acres of old growth Douglas fir. Rattlesnake Creek is directly adjacent to Humboldt Redwood State Park, and logging crews parked within the state park to hike into the units, which in some cases are only 200 feet from the county road. THP 309 was opposed by a number of community groups for its lack of proper cumulative impact analysis on the effects of late successional forest and threatened Motul fisheries. No watershed analysis by Maxam was conducted in the Motul before THP 309 and 4 other THPs in the North Fork of the Motul were approved. It's another example of more bad logging that clear cuts in unstable areas and targets pockets of old growth left on Maxam's holdings. As the heart of the Motul is being defended, we're watching dozens of other egregious plans come down the line. Hole in the Headwaters logging plan has been approved by CDF. We've gotten word that THP 520, the Hole in the Headwaters, could be approved by the California Department of Forestry as early as Wednesday, February 28th. This present incarnation of THP 520 was in direct response to the Epic Sierra Club lawsuit, which was granted an injunction on logging last July and is set to go to trial in March. Pacific Lumber has also filed 5 new THPs, THPs 100, 352, 387, 388, 448, and 452, that span both sides of the South Fork of the Eel River and total nearly 700 acres of mature second-growth forest. The land inside the hole and across the river from it, some 7,000 acres of forest, were traded to Maxam Pacific Lumber as part of the Headwaters deal. The 7,000 acres of forest was identified by the state in the state law that funded the deal as a priority for acquisition with whatever funds remain after the purchase of Owl Creek, for which $80 million was allocated. The state has just announced that it is buying Owl Creek for $67 million, leaving $13 million available for other acquisitions. These new logging plans pose a serious threat not only to the proposed acquisition area, but also to the biological integrity of the Headwaters Reserve itself. New logging on the South Fork of the Elk River, except on THP 520, is currently constrained by a so-called moratorium that was imposed by the California Department of Forestry in January of 1998. This moratorium requires additional information on aggravated flooding and public safety concerns for downstream Elk River residents. However, on nearby Freshwater Creek, the same so-called moratorium has been lifted under a substantially weaker standard than that originally imposed by CDF. Please call or write California Governor Gray Davis, his phone number 916-445-2841. That's 916-445-2841, or send email to graydavis@governor.ca.gov. That's graydavis@governor.ca.gov. The Motul Forest defenders need the following items. These are the essential forest defender needs. They need immune boosters like echinacea tinctures and pills, zinc tablets, tea bags, ground coffee, organic please, hydrogen peroxide, chocolate, vegan if possible, high-protein pocket foods such as Clif Bars and Power Bars, dried soup mixes, hummus and falafel mix, organic oats and rice, vitamin C packets, trail mix, tofu, dried fruit, raw nuts, fleece, bottoms and tops, Nokia 510 or 610 cell phone batteries, bivy sacks, sleeping bags, waterproof tarps, static line, pagers, walkie-talkies, 5 watts are preferred, UHF or VHF walkie-talkies, video cameras, still cameras, wool socks, rain gear, Gore-Tex or rubberized, they say, gift certificates for Ace Hardware, the Arcata Co-op, Costco, or Picky Picky Picky, probably all in the Arcata Eureka area. And they need also paid work for activists who come out of the woods. Activists are not paid for what they do in the woods, and to keep them and their friends and the forest defense financially viable, please, if you can offer work to activists who come out of the woods, give these folks a call. They can also use monetary donations. Please make any checks out to Matoll Forest Defenders. Their address, P.O. Box 28, Arcata, California, 95518. That address again, Matoll Forest Defenders, P.O. Box 28, Arcata, California, 95518. They need people, too. Please come to Matoll for a few days and help defend the 3,000 acres of incredible old-growth Doug-fir forest. They prefer people with nonviolent direct action experience. Please call the hotline first. Before you come, call this number, 707-441-3828. That's 707-441-3828. Please come prepared for very wet, cold, and snowy conditions. The hike to the Free State is 12-plus miles. There is no base camp, so please call before you come. Once again, that phone number, 707-441-3828. If you'd like more information, contact the Matoll Forest Defenders. Once again, their phone number is 707-441-3828. Their address, P.O. Box 28, Arcata, California, 95518. You can also contact North Coast Earth First. Their voicemail number is 707-825-6598. You can write email to North Coast Earth First, NCEF, at Humboldt1.com. That's NCEF at HUMBOLDT1.com. Or, of course, visit the webpage www.matolldefense.org. And Earth First activists occupied Staples offices and a 20-foot banner unfurled. Eight activists were arrested last week after blockading the paper aisle of Staples store in downtown Atlanta, Georgia, for over 3 hours while protesting the store's sale of endangered forest products. Two activists unfurled a 20-foot-long banner reading, "On sale now, clear-cut southern forests," from the roof of the store, and over 60 citizens rallied outside throughout the demonstration. A nationwide campaign targeting Staples for selling paper products from clear-cut forests was launched on November 15th with over 75 protests across the United States. Activists turned up the heat by staging a direct action inside the Georgia store. The action also included a squad of cheerleaders, students from the University of Georgia, chanting a parody of Staples' tagline, "Clear cuts, we've got that." Citizens waving signs bearing the slogan, "Got stumps," rallied outside the store. Inside the store, eight activists blockaded the paper aisles by locking themselves into four-foot-tall stumps. Staples, the world's largest chain of office supply superstores, continues to be a target for refusing to substantially shift away from forest destruction toward greater use of recycled or non-tree paper. French Broad Earth First and dozens of concerned students and local citizens cited the company's refusal to help preserve the world's forests as the rationale for the action. "As Staples continues to buy and sell clear-cut forests from our own backyard, we will continue to escalate our tactics in the campaign against the office supply giant until they meet our demands," stated Olivia Lim, an Earth First spokesperson. Presently, 97% of the paper products offered by Staples are made from virgin fiber, fiber that is primarily supplied from clear-cut southern forests. International Paper, Staples' largest supplier, as well as the world's largest timber corporation, has been found to be in violation of federal and state regulations by the state of North Carolina regarding its practice of aerial herbicide sprayings of pine plantations. Quote, "The expansion of the paper industry throughout the South due to companies such as Staples has resulted in unprecedented levels of clear-cutting and conversion of native forest to pine plantations," said Lim. "The consequences for the land, communities, and local economies has been devastating. Earth First and citizens' demands include immediately phase out all wood and paper products made from old-growth fiber, immediately phase out all wood and paper products made from fiber from U.S. public lands, commit to achieving 50% post-consumer content for all paper products within 2 years, and an immediate phase-out of all products that are 100% virgin wood fiber. Make available 100% post-consumer paper or non-tree-free paper that is made from agricultural fiber by designating and stocking permanent shelf space on all stores and other points of sale, educate all employees, customers, and suppliers of the benefits of recycled paper, recycling alternative fibers, and healthy forest resources. Uncle Dennis agrees with every single bit of the foregoing. If you have a Staples store in your neighborhood, you know what to do. Get down there. It is the Staples Month of Action all the way until February 28th. Get out there. Get to your college campus. Tell them to stop using virgin fiber. Let's get Staples and all these other companies out of the virgin fiber business. Going to take a little break here and listen to some music from Danny Dolinger, and we'll be back with more news in just a few minutes.
Something pulls you out of bed and puts you in your day and introduces you to everything you need along the way. It puts your finger to the flame and teaches you the burning, and you become a ripple in the river of our learning. It locks you at the gateway of your dreams until the hour you recognize you've always had the key and you are walking in power. Most folks can't see power unless it is in motion. I see fire in your eyes to move the tide across the ocean. There's a purpose in your passion, there's a reason for your tears. Yet you dissipate your power when you ground it in your fears. You will step into destiny and you can do it now, or stumble blindly down your path like you don't know that you are walking in power. Path you light the way for those who come behind you. There's more to your future than the choices you have made. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. There is power when you stay. There is power when you go. There is power in the people who are not aware they know. Do not give your power to the cynics who would bind you. If you do, it's you and you alone who has confined you. Some will try to steal away the light that lets you flower, but you are always safe when you're aware that you are walking in power. When you accept your light, you are never in the dark. There is guidance for the asking if you listen with your heart. And this will bring you to the very things you want the most. But if you want to sing with angels, gotta dance with ghosts. Show compassion for the people who still tremble and cower. It was not so long ago you didn't know that you are walking in power. Walking in power.
From the CD Rome Wasn't Burnt in a Day, Danny Dolinger, Walking in Power, and Earth First Radio will be right back. Stay tuned.